Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
Welcome to On the Menu Live,
the most delicious hour on radio,
and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk.
And now,
broadcasting live from another happy hour on 104.1 KQTH,
here's your host, Matt Russell.
Hey, fellow foodies, welcome to the most delicious hour on radio. You are really wishing that you could be sitting with us right here, right now, because if you were here, you'd be seeing Jim and Tara Wood, you'd be seeing Jane Cherry, and they are doing one thing and one thing only, and they are celebrating the wonder and the wisdom that is Arizona wine, and Arizona wine can be found one place tonight. We are live from Maynard's Market as they are getting set up for the annual Grapes to Glass Art and Wine event. The patio outside of Maynard's is populated with all kinds of Arizona vintners. The Arizona wine industry is alive and well, and there are still some tickets available. Come on down. $35 gets you in. You can feast on all kinds of deliciousness. Again, the Grapes to Glass Wine and Art event is happening right here at Maynard's on downtown Tucson's historic East End, and I'm giddy, fellow foodies, to bring in our celebrity co-host, because she hasn't been on the show in a long time, and her life has quite literally changed since the last time she was on the show. She is food and travel writer extraordinaire. Our good friend Edie Girolam is in the house. Edie, how are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Nice to have you back on the show.
Oh, great to be here.
You know, before we get started talking about all of your adventures over the last several months, let's raise a glass and toast the wonder and the beauty that is Arizona wine. Our good friend Kent Callaghan with Callaghan Wines, he poured us some wine to enjoy, so I will say salute.
Salute.
And we will enjoy a little sip here. Kent has given us a little red and a little white. I'm actually enjoying this Buena Suerte proprietary red wine. And you've got a wine named after someone's very special.
Lisa's proprietary white.
Yeah, indeed. A little white, a little red.
It's really good.
I absolutely love it. Anyway, so last time you were on this show, I think it was December of last year, and you were talking about this new book that you were working on. It's called Getting Naked for Money, An Accidental Travel Writer Reveals All. The book is out. It is off the press. I've got my signed copy, and now the community can get their hands on their own copies themselves.
Absolutely. There's going to be a big book launch, and that's on November 2nd. 5 to 7 at the Carriage House, and I'm so excited. Janos Wilder is going to introduce me.
Oh.
How cool is that?
Bucket list item checked off there.
I know, right. And, you know, it's a story of how I moved to Tucson from New York City, where I was a travel editor at Random House at that time, to become a writer. And never in my wildest imagination did I think that something like this would happen. I mean, it's really...
I mean, talk about wild imagination.
Yeah.
I mean, the title alone is going to make this a bestseller. Probably already is.
Yeah.
It's
not yet.
Judith the Fine, author of Life as a Trip, said, it's funny, it's frank, it's frisky, it's fresh, and it's sometimes ferocious. I mean, that's Edie Girolam right there. So tell us a little bit about what's going to happen on November the 2nd at this big book launch party at Carriage House.
Well, basically, people are going to enjoy food. There's a little bit of theme food that is going to, it's a preview of the very exciting AKA Deli and Bakery.
Oh, great.
That's the newest offering of the folks at the Coronet and Augustine Kitchen and Cocktails.
Excellent.
So there is going to be, well, there, the bakery and deli in the Mercado, right next to Augustine Kitchen, is going to specialize in pastry and fresh baked goods and in delis. So there is going to be a theme involved in this offering. There is going to be, well, the background story is when I first moved to Tucson, I was kind of naive. I moved from Brooklyn before it was hip. And, you know, I was a little Jewish girl who knew from Jewish pastry but didn't know very much about sophisticated food. And when I lived in San Diego for a while, I was invited to this event, a dinner party, where my host said, well, I went to the farmer's market today and we got some really good arugula for the salad. I was like, arugula?
Really, really good arugula.
And I thought, wait a minute. He must be talking about that Jewish pastry rugula, and he's going to put pastry in the salad. So anyway, my theme food is going to be arugula salad And arugula.
Arugula and arugula. Say that three times fast.
Exactly.
I think that is going to be so much fun. Now, the community is invited to come out to this event.
Absolutely.
Come and meet you. You're going to give a little talk about the book.
I am going to be giving a reading from the book.
Great.
Including what it's like to dine at a nudist resort.
The inspiration for the title of the
book. The inspiration for the title. I actually went with another restaurant critic, Nikki Buchanan, who was then with Phoenix Magazine, and I went on assignment for More Magazine, a woman's magazine.
Sure.
And they asked me if I would go undercover and uncovered.
Quite literally.
Quite literally to this resort.
You'll do anything for money, right?
Exactly. That's where the title came from. So it was a hoot. So this is the true story behind that magazine article.
Everybody in the food and travel community, at least that I know, this is one of the most highly anticipated book launches, I think, that we have come across, because we all know you and love you so much, and we were really all kind of a part of the story, seeing your own journey, seeing this book come from idea to actually, and as I said, I'm holding it in my hands. Again, November the 2nd, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Carriage House. Now, the community is really going to turn out for this event.
I hope so.
Do people need to make reservations
no.
or their tickets
no.
or anything? Just show up.
Just show up. There'll be books for sale. There'll be food, there'll be wine, beer, and soft drinks, and that's it.
And how can people find out a little bit more about you and your current projects online?
EdieJarolim.com, and that's EdieJarolim as in Mary.
EdieJarolim.com. She is a food and travel writer and also the author of the destined-to-be bestseller, Getting Naked for Money, an accidental travel writer reveals all. Anyway, you've been doing some writing on the food side as well, and I understand there's some great breakfasts in town that you just got assigned to write a story.
That was so much fun. I just turned it in. And the great thing about breakfast in some of these places in town is that you can have it any time of day.
I love it.
So one of the things that I did was go to the Cup Cafe right across the street from here and had their wonderful baked egg dish.
Oh, that's the best.
In the cast iron skillet. Served in the cast iron skillet with cream and leeks and spices. It was so good.
It is. It's a sexy dish.
It really is. It is. It's awesome.
So in addition to Cup Cafe, what are some of the other breakfasts that have found favor on your palate?
Well, the Blue Willow is always a favorite.
Yeah,
and they've added some interesting dishes. You know, I always go for the usual tofu scramble and but this time there was a Frito pie, and that was very exciting. I hadn't seen that before.
Pushing the culinary boundaries
exactly.
with Frito. So if anyone's going to do it, it's going to be Blue Willow. Anyway, when does this article come out in Tucson Guide? When can we see it?
Next year, spring-summer.
Spring-summer next year,
yeah.
Tucson Guide. You can read all about the great breakfasts. And really do go on to EdieJarolim.com. Get a sense of who this funny, frank, frisky, fresh, and ferocious character is. She is our celebrity co-host for the full hour. Again, her big event is happening on November the 2nd. From 5 to 7 p.m. down at the Carriage House downtown. Chef Janos Wilder is personally going to introduce you. It's going to be an event of epic magnitude. Anyway, Edie, thanks for helping to steer the ship for us on this hour.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of our valued and beloved sponsors. And when we come back, fellow foodies, we're going to be continuing in our month-long series on fall-inspired brews. And there is a pumpkin beer that has this community all abuzz, but you got to stay tuned and listen to it. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Matt Russell, and I think that fall is one of the most delicious seasons of the year. So please join me in celebrating the flavors of fall at a restaurant that takes this season seriously. Commoner & Co. Start with a bruleed blue cheese tart with a ginger snap crust, or a fall harvest salad with a bounty of butternut squash, red apples, and spiced pumpkin seeds. And then warm your soul with a bowl of rigatoni bolognese with Wagyu beef, mozzarella curd, and ricotta. You'll also enjoy a number of other dishes that represent the year's harvest, as well as some fun fall cocktails that are being shaken and stirred even as I speak, like right now. And on Mondays, all season long, it's half off all bottles of wine. Fall is officially in season at Commoner & Co. on the southeast corner of Sunrise and Cole. I'll see you there.
Hey, fellow foodies, it's a brand new year, and I'm throwing down a challenge. The time has come for each and every one of you to do what I did years ago and liberate your pantries once and for all from those old jugs of oil and vinegar that you got from the big box grocery store. I'm Matt Russell, and I say enough is enough. It's time to make a fresh start for your family's health and choose only the freshest extra virgin olive oil and specially aged balsamic vinegars that can only be found at Alfonso Gourmet Olive Oil and Balsamics. Take it from the palate of a pro. Tom Alfonso is one of only a handful of certified olive oil tasters in the country, and his highly trained staff is ready to show you what you've been missing by pouring you some free samples today. Enjoy single varietal, fused, and infused olive oils, along with suggestions for pairing them with the perfect balsamic vinegars. Stop in today at one of their two convenient locations, on the southeast corner of River and Campbell in St. Philip's Plaza, and on the southeast corner of Oracle and McGee in Plaza Escondida. Or check them out online at alfonsooliveoil.com. On behalf of Tom and Nancy Alfonso, here's to your health and happiness all year long.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live against the backdrop of the coming together Grapes to Glass Art and Wine event here at Maynard's Market and Kitchen on downtown Tucson's historic East End, here with my celebrity co-host, food and travel writer Edie Girolam. Always lovely having a glass of wine with you.
Absolutely. Great to be here.
Absolutely fun. But you know what? It's not just all about wine everywhere I go. I mean, I love wonderful spirits. I love great seasonal beers. And of course, Edie, as you know, I've been taking the last month taking my palate on a little bit of a tour of some fall-inspired brews, and I had to have this next guest come on because it's not fall in a glass without Ballast Point Brewing Company.
Absolutely.
And here he is, my good friend, Arizona sales representative for Ballast Point Brewing Company, Dan Chenier, is on with us. Dan, how are you, man?
I'm great, guys. Thank you so much for having me on, man. It's a pleasure to join you.
Oh, well, I tell you what, I love this time of year, not only at the center of the plate from a culinary perspective, but I also love what happens with beers seasonally as we move from the hot days of summer into the, well, they tell us it's going to start getting cool here pretty soon, but the cool temperatures of fall. Anyway, my wife, as you know, was out at Ballast Point in San Diego a couple of weeks ago and had a chance to try a beer that you have called Pumpkin Down. She hasn't stopped talking about this beer since she came back to Tucson. Dan Chenier, what is it about this Pumpkin Down beer that has this community and communities really, frankly, all over the United States all abuzz?
The thing that really sets Pumpkin Down apart is, I mean, it's a great a fall beer, but it starts as a base beer, our Piper Down, which is a wonderful Scotch beer, a Scotch ale, won a silver medal at this year's World Beer Cup. So we take Piper Down, we do a bigger batch, and we do a boil session, a three-hour boil session. Mm. So basically what that's doing, that's just concentrating the sugars from the barley, from the malt. Then right before it gets added, we add some pumpkin spices to it as well, just to really take it to that next level. The same competition, Pumpkin Down won a silver medal. So we're really excited about that beer.
A three-hour boil. So, like, 2.5 hours isn't good enough for Dan Chenier, is it?
The brewers, they're magicians, man. They just get an idea in their head, and they take off. And after 20 years, I think they've got it down pretty well.
It sounds like they do. Now, when we're thinking about pumpkin brews, Dan, you know, we've got some that kind of represent that savory part of that squash, you know, really very, you know, low intensity on the sweet side, all the way over to the kinds of pumpkin beers that taste quite literally like you're biting into a piece of pumpkin pie. Where on that squash spectrum, Dan Chenier, does the Pumpkin Down land?
This is you're going to get lots of roasty, like toasted notes from barley from the Scotch ale base beer. It's going to be more towards the savory side. This beer, it seems if you throw it up with some risotto or some butternut squash. And just think of, like, the savory notes from Thanksgiving dinner, anything like that. It's going to sing with this.
It sounds just like a great food pairing beer, Edie. I mean, he's talking about risotto. I mean, these are the kinds of sort of rich, robust kinds of dishes that would pair beautifully with this beer.
I want one so much now.
Well, that's so much. That's a great question. So, Dan, people that are listening to this show right now are going to be jockeying all over town to see how they can get a hold of some of this Pumpkin Down. Where can they buy it around Tucson?
Down in Tucson, the places where you find great craft beer are going to be carrying your Pumpkin Down for you. Places like Whole Foods, Sprouts, Tap and Bottle, Park Plaza Liquors there too as well. And if they don't have it, ask them for it. They're going to be able to get it for
Demand.
You.
Demand pumpkin down. Someone
yes,
will
exactly.
go down if there's not enough pumpkin down.
Exactly.
We're talking to Dan Chenier. He's the Arizona sales representative for Ballast Point Brewing Company. You can't talk to Dan Chenier without at least one nod to the Sculpin. How's Sculpin selling this time of year, brother?
It's amazing. Sculpin, for a brand that's been in our state for 6 or 8 years, Sculpin's still leading the pack.
Wow.
Ballast Point's the number one fastest growing craft brewery in the country, and behind the strength of our flagship, Sculpin. You look around, it's doing great.
The first time I actually had the pineapple Sculpin was at the beer crawl, and you
right.
personally poured it for me. It was a milestone moment in my career, Dan. And it was this, and what I loved when you were talking about it, you know, people have this image of what a pineapple tastes like and how it works in a beer. But I remember, Dan, you were telling the story about the pineapple notes that come out of that really represent and correspond to kind of a grilled pineapple flavor that is completely different than biting into the raw fruit.
Exactly. The first time when I first heard about pineapple Sculpin, I was a little wary that I was going to finish too sweet. But like you said, or like I said, the grilled notes really come out. I was growing pork chops. I'd drink some. I'd spill some on the pork chops. It just seems I love when you put beer and food together. And 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. I like that algorithm. I like that formula. Well, we have just about another minute left, unfortunately, before we have to say goodbye to you, Dan. But as we're moving our way into fall and really getting a gaze at winter, are there any, like, really big, burly, you know, oaky sort of strong beers that are going to keep us happy through the cold winter months coming out of Ballast Point?
Dark days are certainly ahead of us. We're just diving into Victory at Sea right now. Now,
yes.
You've had Victory at Sea before. It's an Imperial Coffee Porter, 10%. The coffee, the vanilla, they dance there together. We're going to be doing a special event down there in Tucson in December as well. So keep your eyes open and stay thirsty.
All right. Well, you know, we always do have this thirst that never seems to go away, but you really help us to stay libated, year round. Anyway, Dan Chenier, how can people find out more about the beer lineup, at Ballast Point? What's your website address?
www.ballastpointbrewingcompany.com. Keep an eye out for new stuff happening.
All right. Well, listen, you go back to work, get some more pumpkin down here in Tucson, and we're going to say goodbye for now, but I can't wait to see you down here. Let's raise a pint together, brother.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Right on. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be shifting back to wine because we're broadcasting live from the Grapes to Glass event. And we're going to be sitting down with Steve Berger, the sommelier here at Maynard's, talking about his perspectives on the Arizona wine scene. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Don't go away.
Why such a loud slurp, my friend?
Well, I read on a recent article on TucsonFoodie.com 8 spots for Japanese ramen in Tucson that is customary.
What? No way.
Way. Not only that, but I found a great Tucson Foodie article about some of the best Tucson hotspots for happy hour, a guide to the growing number of restaurants in downtown Tucson, a roundup of killer spots for burgers, and a number of new restaurants to check out. Tucson Foodie also just won a Best Of Award from the Tucson Weekly's 2014 competition.
That's insane.
What? That they won an award?
No, that slurping ramen is customary. I'm going to have to check out Tucson Foodie to see for myself. Where can I find it?
They're all over. Check them out on the web at TucsonFoodie.com, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, and Tumblr. They also have a great weekly email newsletter, which you can sign up for at TucsonFoodie.com. Just look for the bright red logo.
I'm on it.
Great. Now, excuse me, I have a bowl of ramen to finish.
Hi, it's Matt Russell, and I know you're hungry because you're listening to this show, so it must be time to treat yourself to Tino's. Tino's Pizza, that is. Family-owned and operated for more than 30 years, Tino's serves up hand-tossed pizzas from scratch every single day, along with salads, wings, and oven-toasted sandwiches that will satisfy any appetite. And Tino's lineup of craft beers and premium wines will pair perfectly with any of their pizzas, like my favorite, the Dimitri Special. Pizza is a family affair, and Tino's invites you and yours to come in and experience the difference that local makes in a setting that's just right for any occasion. Isn't it time for Tino's? Tino's Pizza, open daily at 6610 East Tancaverde Road, just across the street from Trail Dust Town. And don't forget to download some money-saving coupons at tinospizza.com.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live, fellow foodies. You are listening to the most delicious hour on radio and the hottest in culinary and cocktail talk. And we are broadcasting live as they are setting the stage for the annual Grapes to Glass Art and Wine Festival, a celebration of Arizona wine. Yes, Arizona wine is where it is at. Isn't that right, Edie Girolam?
Absolutely.
I love these vintners. I love the winemakers. And when you talk about winemakers, I mean, I just saw Kent Callaghan outside. His hands were just colored the pigments of purple. That's a winemaker, Edie.
That is a winemaker. And they just did a spread in Sunset earlier this year that I wrote about. And I got to go all
love
over
it.
And taste amazing wines all over.
Well, so. Our next guest actually gets paid to taste amazing wines. And it's a tough job, but someone's got to do it.
Exactly.
The man that makes the wine world go round here on the historic east end of downtown Tucson here at Maynard's. It is my privilege to welcome him in his debut appearance on the Menu Live Sommelier, Steve Berger. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Well, I mean, this is like a big day for you, right? The sommelier at Maynard's hosting really some of the best wines around.
It is. It's a lot of fun for us.
And so how many wineries are represented here?
Nine wineries today.
Okay, nine wineries pouring how many wines?
Each are pouring a white and a red.
Okay. And so basically along the entire spectrum varietal-wise, right? So there will be kinds of different wines for every kind of personality and palate?
That's somewhat true, but there are certain grape varietals that grow well in Arizona, and you'll see that reflected in what's being offered today.
Okay, got it. Now, let me ask you, I'm curious, so you're a sommelier, and I love the sommelier story, especially in the certification side of things, because that is no easy journey, Steve Berger, to become a certified sommelier.
Yes and no. I'm actually not certified. I'm only a level one sommelier.
Well, don't only a level one. I couldn't even get past the first chapter.
There is a little bit of information you have to retain to pass the test, and you have to have somewhat ability to discern different wine tastes.
Yeah.
But it's something I love, and I've been doing it since the 80s.
Wow.
I've been buying wine for restaurants. And when I moved to Tucson in 2007, I got a job with Janos Wilder.
Oh, we were just talking about Janos,
yeah. And I had the opportunity to learn a lot about wine as a fill-in somm for Janos.
Mm-hmm. Wow, what a story that
yeah.
is. So I could never be a sommelier, Edie. You know why?
Why?
Because you, when you're doing the sommelier thing, you got to do a lot of spitting. I don't like to spit my wine. I like to enjoy my wine. I mean, how many spits, conservatively, Steve Berger, have you executed in your sommelier track?
I do taste a lot of wine, and I do it often when I'm supposed to have my wits about me. So there is a fair amount of spitting involved, and you hopefully get good at doing it without dribbling down your shirt.
That's right. Well, there I wore the perfect color shirt for the dribbling.
I was going to say, you're wearing white, and you're wearing
two men in white
color.
At a wine tasting event. That's awfully bold and courageous
really?
Of us. We're talking to Steve Berger. He's the sommelier here at Maynard's. Now, there was a time, Steve, when Arizona wine was sort of a, you know, just this sort of weird, quirky idea. It didn't compute when you're thinking about the soils and the terroirs and the terrain and the climate of better known, at that time, wine-producing regions. We have a serious wine story to tell here in the Grand Canyon State.
Exactly. When I first moved here in 2007, I tried some of the Arizona wines, and there were some good ones being produced then, but there were a lot that were not so great.
Right.
That has changed a lot over the course of the time that I've been here. The quality has improved. They've figured out how to take advantage of the Arizona terroir and what varietals work here, what don't. Everything across the board that I've tasted in recent years has improved to the level that I'm just so impressed.
I love it. Now, do you ever get a chance to get out to the wine country?
I do. Okay. I've been down to Wilcox and Sonoyta, and, it's beautiful down there, and it's great to get out and actually see where the grapes are growing.
No, I'm interested. I'm going to probably put you on the spot a little bit here, Steve, but, you have this very sophisticated palate when it comes to the craft of the grape. You're an onophile, zonophile. What are some of the great Arizona wines that you're loving these days, personally on your palate?
Well, of course, we're very fond of Rob Hamelman's wine. We pour our proprietary red, which is our second iteration of that. The first was a Zinfandel blend. This current one is a Malbec blend.
Yes.
We went, Todd Hanley, the general manager of the hotel and the Maynard's, and I went down and tasted out of the barrel and selected both the Zinfandel and then the Malbec. which is a great experience. And we love Rob's wine. So we're pouring Sand Reckoner here tonight, which we're very happy about.
Yeah.
We're going way back to my Llanos days. I'm a big fan of Dos Cabezas.
Absolutely.
And
Todd
Ken,
and Kelly
Ken,
are heroes.
Ken Callaghan has always been the kind of the standard bearer that people look up to.
Now, in terms of the wine list here at the restaurant, at Maynard's Kitchen, I mean, this is a showcase of Arizona wines as well. I mean, you're not just giving people a chance to come out here tonight. Again, tickets still left, $35 at the door gets you in. You want to really introduce and keep relevant this Arizona wine conversation when people are coming to Maynard's. But you come to have dinner at Maynard's, you've got a fairly good selection on the list as well.
We do. We have both market side, which is a sort of informal retail wine store, which we think is great and wish more people would take advantage of downtown. We have a wine club, which is one of the best deals if you're a Tucson resident and you like wine. For $60 a month, or sorry, for $60 you get 3 months, which entitles you to a bottle of red and white wine of the month, and then free entry to, we do wine tastings most Friday nights, and 25% off cases of wine.
All for being members of the wine club?
Yeah, it's a great deal.
And the dues are, did you say $60?
It's $20 a month, $60 for 3 months.
$60
yeah.
for 3 months to get all that
in. What
eating.
A deal.
Jeez.
It's a smoking deal.
And how can people find, I mean, do you sign up online to be,
you
join
can
the,
sign up online
and how
you
do people
can come
do
into
that?
The market and do it as well.
Okay, and when, and you'll, you actually never leave. You're always here. So people can engage you in conversation as well about.
I try to be here if people have questions. So we have that side of things, which is one side. Then we have the restaurant.
And we're going to be talking to Chef Mike Beyer about what's happening on the restaurant. I don't want you to go away because we're going to expand the conversation to the cuisine side, but wine always has a place in any conversation about cuisine. So don't go anywhere, okay?
Okay.
We're going to take a quick news break and thank a couple more sponsors. And when we come back, Executive Chef Mike Beyer is in the house talking a little about fall flavors at the center of the plate on this live broadcast from Maynard's Bargain Kitchen. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey there, fellow foodies. Matt Russell here, and I say that nothing makes a culinary and cocktail experience more legendary than a premium cigar. And Jerry's Cigars has everything for the Tucson cigar enthusiast. With more than 70,000 cigars in stock, Jerry's has a cigar for every taste and size, including rare and hard-to-find cigars, alongside an impressive showcase of lighters and cutters, humidors, and other accessories. Swing by Jerry's for some sticks to go, or fire one up in the climate-controlled comfort of Jerry's Cigar Lounge. Jerry's Cigars, the official tobacconist of On the Menu Live. Come see him today at 4433 North 1st Avenue, just north of Wetmore Road. Or give them a call at 887-7778. That's 887-7778.
Hi there, Buddy.
Hello.
Buddy here is a talking dog.
Even better, I'm a deal-sniffing dog.
Have you sniffed out any deals for us, Buddy?
Oh, yes. I dug up great deals on restaurants, resorts, and entertainment all over Tucson, up to 90% off.
Wow, that is great.
I'm going to put them in daily emails.
How can I get on that mailing list, Buddy?
Go to my website.
And what's that website address? What's the matter, Buddy?
Well, I can't spell.
But you can talk.
Right.
Well, here it is, buddiesdeals.com. That's BuddiesDeals.com.
Buddiesdeals.com.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live deep in the heart of happiness, quite literally, here at Maynard's Market and Kitchen. They are just about to open the doors in just about 25 minutes to the annual Grapes to Glass Art and Wine Festival, a celebration, a showcase, a story of Arizona wine and Arizona art. Speaking of stories, Edie Girolam, our celebrity co-host, is back with us. Just written a book called Getting Naked for Money, an accidental travel writer reveals all. You can get a chance to get one of these books signed for your very own self at this book launch party happening again on November the 2nd from 5 to 7 down at the Carriage House.
Yes.
Downtown. And Chef Llanos Wilder is, again, going to personally introduce you. I'm actually looking forward to reading the book and then having Llanos read the book and having just the two of us talk about our observations.
Well, he has his homework. He's read the book before this event is happening. So
I wonder if he's going to share Judith Fine's observations that it's funny, frank, frisky, fresh, and sometimes ferocious.
I hope so.
Well, I don't know how you segue from ferocious to great cuisine, but it's only an hour show, so we don't have a whole lot of time to talk about that. But there's a guy here, one of the hardest working folks folks in all of the galaxy. He's got a huge fan club. Anytime people come downtown to eat, Maynard's has to be at the top of the list, and I am always honored to welcome back my good friend, Executive Chef Mike Meyer. Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, Matt.
I mean, just another day at the office for Mike. I mean,
yeah, for the most part.
I mean, you big wine guy?
I do like wines. I'm more of a beer connoisseur myself.
Okay. We actually talked to Dan Chenier from Ballast Point Brewing Company about 15 minutes, talking about his pumpkin down. Are you you like the kind of the seasonal shift in flavors on the beer side of things?
I do enjoy a pumpkin ale every once in a while, but I'm a big IPA man.
Big IPA.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, like, so. I mean, even like a double IPA.
Oh, yeah. That's when you're feeling, you know, really frisky.
I actually saw a triple IPA where I was last night, which is, you know, do not try this at home, Mike Meyer.
Poured like syrup, right?
Poured exactly like syrup. So this is such a fun event, the Grapes to Glass. I mean, it really provides this community the opportunity to really get to know personally some of these winemakers and some of the stories of some of the wineries. And back with us here is Steve Berger. He's the sommelier from Maynard's. Now, I'm curious, do the two of you kind of ever get a chance to sit down and talk about what you want the cuisine and the wine story about Maynard's to be? I mean, I know that they're not independent elements. I mean, food and wine sing together. They breathe together. They dance together. Do you guys ever just sit down and say, what do we want to do with food and wine?
A lot of times we play around. We, me and Steve, work together. A lot of times I'll come up with something great to eat, and then I'll say, Steve, taste this. Let's find something to pair it up with perfectly. So
we do chef's tables, which are kind of fun. The guests will tell us what they like and don't like. The chef will create a meal, and I will pair wines to go with each course. That's a lot of fun.
Now, Steve, in his sommelier's track, when he was matriculating through this very intense process, he had to do a lot of spitting in that process. Thank God you don't have to spit in your chef training, Mike. I mean,
no, not at all. Usually chow it on down. So
here we all fought. We talked to Dan again about seasonal interpretations on the beer side. My listeners know, Mike, very well that when it comes to from a culinary perspective, fall is my absolute favorite season because, you know, we eat kind of lighter and brighter during the summertime, but as the temperature begins to drop, as the leaves, somewhere the leaves are changing,
yeah.
What does fall look like at the center of the plate here from a culinary perspective, Mike?
Well, at Maynard's, we're using a lot of local ingredients that come into season right around fall time. As you mentioned, when the temperatures do drop, you have different items like all your greens start to come into season a lot better. They get a lot bigger, a lot more flavorful as they grow. And they stand up to the cold a lot better when it gets cold here at night also. Other things like Brussels sprouts we use a lot, and then the beets. So all the things that were growing over the hot summer here in Arizona that you were able to keep alive, going into the colder parts of the year, they start to mature and actually get all their flavors impacted into them. So here we're using a lot of Brussels sprouts, beets, figs. Arugula is great this time of year. We use local kale, Swiss chard, in a lot of our dishes here in the restaurant, and we just try to keep it as a local and as seasonal as possible.
That's really the spirit that kind of defines the whole cuisine story here. Now, I'm fascinated, and Edie, I'd be interested in your perspective on this as well. Brussels sprouts and beets, you'd have to look pretty hard 10 years ago to find either of them on a menu, and now they have helped to define the culinary arts today. I mean, Brussels and beets are relevant again.
Oh, yeah, and they're fantastic, too.
Seriously.
Not only that, they're extremely nutritious.
Brussels sprouts was the one thing that I said, I will never eat that. And now, with different preparations in town, I'm amazed. I actually really like them. Well, bacon helps a lot.
I was just going to say bacon does help. So, and we make our own bacon here in-house, too, that we toss with our Brussels sprouts. So it adds a nice smoky flavor to them.
I can't remember the chef I interviewed a couple years ago about this sort of the fascinating trajectory of the Brussels sprout today. But he said, you know, the reason why they got such a bad rap is because none of our mothers knew how to make them.
That's very true.
And I think my mother, I hope she's not listening right now. But, you know, it was criminal to what you were doing to these baby cabbages. And when you think about the flavor profile of what a Brussels sprout is, you know, you don't throw it in a boiling cauldron of water for an hour and a half.
No. I usually like to cook them in butter, bacon, fat, and get a nice hard sear on them, and then they're absolutely delightful. So another one is kale, too, that we're using a lot now. Mm-hmm. When I was coming up as a chef many years ago, kale was used to garnish the salad bar, you know.
Right.
And now it's in almost every dish you see out there. And same thing with kale. You have to prepare it correctly or else you're going to have to come out with a very bitter, not too tasty product.
Exactly.
So,
I'm curious on the wine side, Steve. You know, we talked about beers shifting seasonally. We talk about cuisine shifting seasonally. Now, you know, in the summertime when I'm hanging out outside, I love like a good sort of
you know, crisp Sauvignon Blanc with sort of that bracing acidity. I love, you know, those lighter styles. Do people kind of look the same way as a beer maker or a brewer would be or a chef would be? On the wine side, are there particular varietals that you personally like during this time of year?
Well, sure. People do tend to shift their focus to reds more as the weather cools down. But in Tucson, the weather doesn't necessarily cool down as it does other places, so you still sell a lot of whites, and you still sell the crisp and refreshing ones that you were just describing. But people move into Cabernets and Zinfandels and Syrahs and the more robust reds at this time of year. And then with Turkey Day coming up, you'll often have people who will want sort of a bridge wine, like a Beaujolais or something on the lighter side, Pinot Noir.
A bridge wine. You see?
I like that.
That's exactly what there's a poetry when
there
it comes
is.
To talking about wine. Now, he mentioned Turkey Day, Mike.
Yeah.
You know, gosh, I can't believe it. It's right around the corner. You guys do Thanksgiving fun down here, right?
We do Thanksgiving every year on Thanksgiving. Maynard's is open. We've become kind of famous for it. We serve it family style, which is the way I feel any Thanksgiving dinner should be served. Mm-hmm. Family style means you get a large plate of food on your table with different ingredients, and then you all pick from it and share. So you hear that phrase, please pass the mashed potatoes, while you're out to dinner, and that's just a nice experience.
Because,
part of eating out is the interaction with the guests that you're with. So,
yeah.
We're having our Thanksgiving this year, and we've got grape offerings. We're going to be doing spinach, candied walnut, and Danish blue cheese salad, cream of celery soup. We're also doing, of course, slow-roasted turkey. Then we're also going to have some confit, smoked turkey leg. Mm. We're also doing a roasted leg of lamb with burgundy and garlic sauce. We're doing charred onion mashed potatoes, so a little bit twist on your traditional. And we're going to be doing a sage and chorizo stuffing, a little bit of giblet gravy, some hare couvert, which are sautéed green beans, roasted carrots, and some house-made cranberry sauce, of course.
Mm. So. House-made cranberry sauce. So you have this idea, again, of what Thanksgiving looks like, what it smells like, what, you know, how it behaves on the plate, right? But you're honoring tradition, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Because, you can't do anything completely, you know, wild and nuts because, again, it's Thanksgiving. It's the bounty. It's the harvest. It's the memories that we have, Edie, when you and I were growing up on the East Coast.
This is better than anything I've ever grown up with.
Yeah, so it's like it's honoring that tradition, but it's bringing in kind of that buyer expression, right, that really takes this to a whole other level.
Oh, yeah. And also, we're going to be offering dessert, so classic pumpkin pie. And then we're going to be doing a local apple caramel crumble. So that's another dessert option.
A local apple caramel crumble.
Oh, my God.
Just rolls off the tongue, right?
Can I make a reservation right now?
Yeah.
Actually, I was going to say, get them while you can, because we will sell out eventually here. We usually sell out about 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So if you're out there, call us up, make a reservation while you can.
What was the wine on your Thanksgiving table when you were growing up? Back in the day,
there wasn't
no wine.
Right,
so you got some catching up to do.
Yeah, I really do. I've been making up for it ever since. But
right.
No wine.
So, what's the best way people can get reservations then for Thanksgiving dinner? Is there a number to call? Can they do it online on the Maynard's website? What's the best way to do that?
Best way to make reservations is to go ahead and call the restaurant up and go ahead and just place a reservation with one of the managers that are here, especially if you have a larger party that wants to come in. So, because we have to mix and match the seating quite a bit. So,
you're going to be able to get out of here and try a little bit of wine tonight, Mike?
Maybe when my shift is done.
When
so,
your shift
is. Yeah, I got to get through dinner service, and then I'll probably pop outside and grab a little glass.
We're talking about inspirations a lot on this show, and I'm curious, you know, when you got your start in the culinary arts, when you sort of woke up one day and said, you know what, I think I got the chops, to be a world-class chef. Are there any folks you had in mind sort of that you looked up to, any mentors, anyone that, you know, a chef or a friend or a colleague that really said, you know, this is who I sort of most admire on the culinary side? Are there culinary heroes that are part of your story, Mike?
There is one I can think of, and he was on PBS many, many years ago before the Food Network really was a thing, and his show was called Yan Can Cook.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And I think he's still around, and
I saw him
making noodles by hand one day, and I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. And it kind of got me into the business doing it. Also, I had a lot of friends when they graduated high school decided to get into the restaurant game, so... You know, and it was my first job, so I figured I was doing it and loved it.
We have a couple of his cookbooks, actually, now that you mentioned it. Yeah, that guy's he's a rock star.
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing. So.
Well, he'd love to hear that. Let's get him on the phone. Can we
get
Chuck? Can you go? Can you call Yan? Yeah. But anyway, you actually have brought us some examples, Chef, of what fall looks like at the center of the plate. And are these some new items that you have on your new fall menu?
Yes, they are, actually. So
Well, let's take a little taste.
Absolutely. I brought some silverware and some forks and knives with us here.
Okay. Now, do you have a Maynard's bib that I can wear to cover my white shirt that I somehow was not the right choice for a wine tasting event? We have a bounty of flavors here, and where would you, Chef, suggest that we start the tasting?
Well, I made an appetizer, and then I made two entrees for you guys tonight, today. And, we'll start with our what we call the Barrio Bruschetta.
Let's do it.
It's basically a locally baked bread made by Don, who owns Barrio Baking Company.
Yeah, talk about a hero.
Yeah, so we get deliveries from him, and what we've done with it is we a little bit of oil, salt, and pepper on the bread, so it is a bruschetta. Then we grill it off nicely until it has just a touch of char on it. And then we top it with some macerated figs, serve it with some burnt honey, a little bit of goat cheese spread.
Oh, my God.
And then some 800-day-aged prosciutto cheese on top. And then that's a local arugula that I was able to pick up a couple days ago on top.
800-day-aged
prosciutto. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's good stuff. So it's salty, it's sweet, it's tangy with the goat cheese. It's got a beautiful texture with the bread. And it's just a nice appetizer to start your meal off here with at Maynard's. So.
Now, both my co-host and myself, our mouths are full. And this is live radio. I don't know what to do, Mike. Help me out, man.
Well, let me move on to the next dish and give it a little description of it.
I got to go back to the burnt honey, though.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Goat cheese and the burnt honey. You know what I'm getting from the burnt honey? I'm almost getting a little bit of a brulee expression.
Exactly.
And again, thinking back at what that brulee experience was like as a kid, actually, in this week's Inside Tucson Business, I wrote a story about fun twists on the whole brulee technique, and this is kind of an example. I have that burnt experience coming through on that honey, beautiful caramelization there.
And speaking of that, that was something our brand new chef de cuisine, Chef Brian Smith, came up with. He was the former chef de cuisine for Acacia.
At Acacia,
with,
right.
Albert Hall. And he started with us a couple months ago. And this is one of the items that he helped us develop here at Maynard's. So he's already making an impact on the menu, which is fantastic.
Yeah, he's been on the show a couple times, and I hope he's listening right now. But he's always been, you know, one of the greatest guys in this business. We've looked up to him, and he's just such a fun guy to kick back with and, you know, have a cocktail and talk about food. He's really, it was a good catch for you guys to get Brian Smith over here.
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100%. He's making my life a lot better. So
I just was wondering where the figs are from. They're so good.
Other mission figs, we buy them dried, and then they come in. We buy them out of a supply store out of California. So
really?
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
wonderful.
Right away, that Barrio Bakery Bruschetta is really a beautiful place to start the Maynard's experience.
Absolutely.
Love
so.
Wonderful flavors, wonderful textures. I love the textural differences in that one bite. You're getting the soft, the crisp of that of the bread. You're getting the soft interior. You're getting that chewiness of those the figs. Beautiful. Where are we going now, Mike?
Okay, well, no, I brought another dish out, and this is a Riesling braised lamb shank.
Riesling braised. Okay, well, Steve is going to have to come in on this story. Riesling as in the sweet
wine.
Dessert wine.
Exactly.
Well, also, you know, not necessarily a dessert wine, but the sweeter side of the spectrum. Lamb shank.
Yeah, so this is Colorado lamb shank, and that's a braising type of meat. It's
look at the way it's just pulling
it is.
Off.
We don't even need
oh, my
that.
Gosh. I picked up a knife,
yeah.
And you looked at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, you don't need a knife for this one. It pulls right off the bone.
Wow.
But what we've done with this dish is we sear it hard in a pan, and then we'll add leeks, onions, celery, garlic, shallots, and scallions to the braising pan. And then we'll deglaze with a bunch of Riesling wine and let that reduce down a little bit. And then we finish it off with some chicken stock and demi-glace and then bake it in the oven for about 2.5 hours until it's just almost fall off the bone with just a little bit of texture.
I don't know what to say. I mean, that is just the richness of that lamb. Just a hint of game. You know, it's the and I don't know how you chefs do it. You know, I don't know if it's the kind of lamb that you use or the technique or the process or the preparation, but it doesn't have that overly gamey flavor profile.
Yep.
Just a little suggestion.
Yep.
Just because you know you're having lamb.
So you know it's not beef, you know.
Right.
Exactly.
And Mike,
did
you use Riesling because you wanted a little lighter?
A little bit lighter of a sauce.
Yeah.
So we went with the Riesling, and then we kept
red wine.
Carrots and some other things out of it, just to make it a little bit more of a twist to it, you know.
Sorry,
and then we serve this with charred onion mashed potatoes on the bottom.
Those are amazing, too.
Yeah. Some sautéed Brussels sprouts.
I somehow missed your charred potatoes. And then the emerald green, the color I mean, again, it's a feast for the eyes as well. Beautiful colors coming off that dish.
Absolutely. And then the last thing we top this dish with is a red chimichurri. So it's our take on a chimichurri. It's still got your mint, cilantro, and parsley in it.
The mint does come through. Yeah. That brightness of the mint sort of complements the savory notes from that lamb. Edie, this is a gorgeous dish.
I'm letting you talk, man. I'm eating.
Okay, we're going to attempt to take down this next dish after we do a little trivia question. We want to see if one of our listeners can take a guess at the trivia question, and the first person that sends us an email with the right answer is actually going to get a Maynard's gift card to experience, Steve and Mike and Maynard's for yourself. Have you guys thought about what a fun question would be to ask our listeners today? Something fun, something fresh, something cool. Nothing too hard, nothing too difficult. About Maynard's, about you personally, about Steve. We could talk about Brian Smith behind his back. What would be fun to ask our listeners?
About the year Maynard's was open?
Great question.
That is a good question.
Okay, so we want to know the year that Maynard's first opened their doors right here in downtown Tucson. Great question, Steve Berger. Again, what year did Maynard's open? If you think you know the answer, send me an email right now, onthemenulive@gmail.com. Again, onthemenulive@gmail.com. First person in with the right answer is going to get a gift card for Maynard's. And if no one gets it, we'll give it to the one who's closest, obviously. But we are going to take a quick commercial break, thank a couple of sponsors, finish our tasting journey here, and then get ready to drink some wine. You're listening to On the Menu Live on 104.1 KQTH. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tucson Originals Restaurants is a dynamic group of independently owned, fine dining, casual, and neighborhood restaurants. Since 1999, Tucson Originals Restaurants have been working together to preserve and promote the unique culinary spirit of Tucson. This alliance has helped many of Tucson's signature restaurants thrive and become icons in the Tucson dining scene. Tucson Originals provides support to member restaurants to ensure locally owned restaurants continue to offer wonderful and diverse dining experiences right here in Tucson. Tucson Originals connects Tucsonans with the local food community in interesting and interactive ways, including fundraising for local charities and food demonstrations at local events. Check out their website at TucsonOriginals.com for the latest in local dining action and amazing dining deals throughout the year. And follow them on Facebook and Twitter at Tucson Originals. Whether you're a local restaurant owner or just love good food, check out Tucson Originals restaurants and be a part of something delicious.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from Maynard's Market and Kitchen. We are just 7 minutes away for the opening of the Grapes to Glass Art and Wine event happening here at Maynard's. Again, there are a few tickets left. $35 gets you a chance to come in here and try some great Arizona wines. See some great Arizona art all right here at Maynard's. And we're back here with Chef Mike Byrer. You have taken our taste buds on a tour of the season, and you wanted to save this one for last because there's a story that goes with this dish, Mike.
Yeah, so the other thing I brought out of here is a New York strip steak. So everybody says, okay, everybody has a New York strip steak. One thing that makes us special here at Maynard's Market and Kitchen is we made a decision to go with all Nyman Ranch prime beef on our menu.
Oh, wow.
So it's pretty much top of the line that you can get in a lot of different areas. The thing about Nyman Ranch is that all of their animals are raised with care and humanely. They source from 700 different family farmers around the West Coast, and they're raised antibiotic-free and hormone-free also. So it's an actually absolute fantastic cut of beef. Every time I cut one of these, I look at it and I just get a big smile on my face because of, A, the marbling, the texture of the meat, and every other aspect to it. We also take our steak, our strip steak, and we dry age it for about 14 days in the house before we cut it and serve it, which is going to give you a much better flavor in the steak also. So I just wanted to touch base on that a little bit. And we're also using Nyman Ranch pork. We also use Nyman Ranch in our ground beef for all of our hamburgers.
Wow.
We use it for our filet mignon. And we also use it for our top sirloin that we have here at Maynard's Market and Kitchen. So
you found the best of the best. That's what you were looking for.
For the most part. And I would have to agree that it is top-notch stuff. So it's just something to behold when you come down. We definitely will be known for fantastic steaks. And the way we're serving our steak now is we're serving it with some potato chive and Parmesan croquettes. And then the steak is cooked up beautifully.
Look at that.
And then it's also topped with a little bit of maitre d' hotel butter, some caramelized red onions, and a little bit of bordelais on the bottom of the plate.
Oh, my gosh. All right, talk about you called it what kind of butter did you call it? A maitre d' butter.
Maitre d' hotel butter.
Tell our listeners exactly what you mean by that.
Well, the way we make ours, it's basically a compound butter that's mixed together with bean herbs, which are parsley, tarragon, and chives. And then we also add a little bit of minced shallot and some Madeira wine to it.
And we go ahead and mix that up and serve a little bit on top of the steak. Because the more fat you put on top of a steak, the better it's going to get. If you're going to order a steak, too, you might as well go all the way. So that's what we're trying to accomplish here with our New York strip.
So you got the beautiful marbling on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
You got that wonderful adornment of the butter on the outside. Fat is flavor. Fat is good. We rejoice in the fat, from the threads on the inside to the beautiful fat on top.
Absolutely.
Anyway, Chef Mike Beyer, you're a busy guy. I really want to thank you for hanging out with us here. We're going to check our emails a little bit down the road, and we're going to give a gift certificate again to the first person that sends a note in with the right answer. When did Maynard's first open their doors? OnTheMenuLive@gmail.com gets a Maynard's gift card to you. Anyway, Chef Mike Beyer, thanks so much. Great to see you.
Always a pleasure, sir.
I can't wait to come into Maynard's kitchen and have you cook for – actually, I'd like to cook for me personally. I'm my own personal chef.
Call up for a chef's table.
I will do it. The chef's table. Exactly. Mike, thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a great day.
So, Edie, what a show, huh? Are you kidding me?
Well,
New York strip reimagined by Chef Mike Beyer.
You have bogarted that New York strip. Excuse me.
Yeah, okay, here I go. As I attempt to lift this plate, this has got to be a 5-pound strip. I'm going to let you do that. But I also want to talk about something that you're working on for Phoenix Magazine, right? So you write Tucson Guide. You do a lot nationally for Sunset Magazine. I love the stories that you tell about food and about travel, but you got something going on in Phoenix as well.
I do, and I'm looking for the 5 best dishes. Best Tucson dishes.
For Phoenix Magazine.
For Phoenix Magazine.
Oh, you get a chance to do a little bragging rights
exactly.
A little bit. Okay, so how in the world do you even get your head around, I can understand 5 best restaurants, I can understand 5 best brewers, but the 5 best dishes.
This is tough. This is tough. But one of them is available right across the street at Cup Cafe. It's the, we were talking about it before, the baked eggs.
The baked eggs in the cast iron,
yeah.
Yes. I have to agree. That would make my top 5 list.
Yeah. And then there is Janos Wilder's chocolate jalapeno sundae. I mean, that has followed him from restaurant to restaurant, and if people haven't tasted the chocolate jalapeno sundae, that's it.
Yeah, you're missing something.
You're missing something. And then, of course, there's the Sonoran hot dog. And I haven't decided. I have to specify places, so I'll probably just do BK and El Gorillo.
very wise. Yep.
So there's still a couple more open. Probably at least one Renee's pizza, Renee's organic oven.
You have to.
I have to.
I totally agree.
The fresh ingredients, the gluten-free option, everything, you know, that people want in a pizza that everybody can enjoy.
Right.
It's just fantastic.
You know, speaking of Renee, it's just her story. It's her spirit, I think, that is so much a part of why that restaurant is so great. I mean, just off-the-hook cuisine, but it's Renee and Steve's attitude about life
absolutely.
That really makes you want to support that great restaurant.
Yeah, they're so upbeat and so involved with the food and the community and everything about Tucson that they're really a joy to work with to talk about. So
indeed.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask you to cut some of that strip, and I'm going to remind all of our listeners that you get a chance to meet Edie Girolam in person. Make sure your camera is charged, because there will be plenty of selfies with Edie opportunities. She's written a great book called Getting Naked for Money, An Accidental Travel Writer Reveals All. It is destined to be the year's hottest read. There's going to be a book launch party happening on November the 2nd from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Carriage House downtown, which is this wonderful, almost community center for the culinary arts. It's a great event space. You don't need to make reservations or...
You do need to wear clothes.
Clothing is not optional.
No,
wear some clothes. And Chef Janos Wilder is actually going to be introducing you in person.
All right. 6 o'clock. The reading is going to be at 6. There's going to be a lot of milling and talking. And 6
right.
o'clock, I'm going to be giving the reading.
Well, I like to mill and I like to talk.
Exactly.
Not necessarily in that order because I'm a talker. But anyway, take a bite of the strip and I'm going to ask you your thoughts here. Again, 5 to 7 p.m. on November the 2nd at the Carriage House. Edie Girolam and her brand new book. You tried some of Chef Mike Beyer's wonderful expression of a New York strip from Nyman Ranch. What do you think? I mean, are you a beef girl at heart?
Yeah,
I am. Yeah.
You know,
a certified beef babe, if I may.
Everything in moderation.
Right, of course.
You know, and this is worth eating large quantities of meat for.
Because this is it. That is an absolutely gorgeous steak.
It is.
Anyway, Edie, again, how can people find out a little bit more about you, get a chance to participate in your story, know exactly where your articles are coming out, and how they can get their hands on some of these publications?
www.ediegirolam.com.
ediegirolam.com. Edie, our celebrity co-host, the hour goes by too fast.
Ridiculously.
I need to make this a two-hour show.
You do.
Maybe all of our listeners need to call 104.1 right now and say, give the guy another hour. There's you know, so much food, so much drink, and so little time. Anyway, Edie Girolam, thanks for hanging out and having a drink and a bite with us. I want to remind all of our listeners that I'm going to be broadcasting live from Three Wells Distilling Company next Saturday, November the 5th, all getting together with 1055 Brewing Company. We're going to have our good friends from Yellow Brick Coffee are going to be down there. Green Feet Brewing Company having a great event. And if you missed any part of this show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Edie Girolam reminding you, if it's Saturday at 5, it is On the Menu Live. Cheers, fellow foodies. We'll see you at Maynard's. Come on down.